We normally talk with Dave from the Bush Library and Museum later on in the week, but we've got a special deal here today that starts today, and David's here. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. You brought a guest along with you.
I did. I brought American photographer Mark Burns with me.
Yeah, he's in. Mark, thank you for being with us this morning.
You're welcome. Live here in person.
Yeah, exactly. And you're here because you have an exhibit, a photo exhibit, which opens at the Bush Library and Museum today, which is called...
The National Parks Photography Project.
Pretty easy. You went in and what made you decide that the subject was going to be national parks?
Well, it's a combination of, I would say, black and white landscape photography is one of my true loves, and I wanted to do something with black and white, and I wanted to do something out west was my primary, I guess, first driving force for this, and then combining that with the 100-year anniversary of America's National Park Service in 2016, I kind of said this is a viable project, and it would be great for the Presidential Library, and everything worked out. We have an official collaboration with the National Park Foundation in D.C., and here we are. Opens today. It's going to be up at the Bush Library through March 21st.
Now, you know, obviously outdoor, if you like that, national parks would be something that you would gravitate to, but did you travel there growing up as a kiddo, or was it?
Yeah, definitely. Was one of those station wagon kids with my father, you know, a little brother driving around out west, and that was really where I fell in love with that whole, you know, concept of wanting to photograph mountains and hills and old buildings and things like that, and it definitely had a big impact on it.
Was your dad a photographer?
No, he wasn't. I'd say he kind of dabbled in it as a you know, maybe a little bit more than just having a camera around the house. He enjoyed it, I think, but he was really not a photographer.
So what was your first camera? Like the Instamat Brownie or Instamatic?
Gosh, yeah. You know, I remember I started when I was probably like 8 years old or so with little Polaroid cameras that were popular back then, and then some Instamatic cameras. And then pretty quickly, I was probably in my early teens when I was shooting. My grandfather got me a pretty nice 35 millimeter camera and a couple lenses, and that's really what kind of launched me into a more professional realm.
Of course, we all walk around with cameras in our pockets now. It's a completely different
too.
World.
I'm a big iPhone photographer myself. You know, I love that.
But one of the things that I guess, and it'd be interesting to know, we were talking before we started, that I had done some photography as well professionally in the television realm. But how are people, I mean, do people come and show you their work that they've done on their phone, knowing that you're a professional photographer? Is that anything that they've
done? Yeah, they do a lot sometimes, and, you know, a lot of it's, I think, very nice. I mean, to me, it's not so much about, it is about the camera, but it's not so much about the camera. It's about your, you know, your eye and being able to compose photographs, I think, that's the most important. But, yeah, they frequently come up to me, and they normally always start off by saying, you know, they kind of qualify it by, I shouldn't be showing you this, but here's this picture that I took of the deer in the backyard. And a lot of times I think they're really nice photos. You know, I take snapshots. I call them snapshots and photographs. I take snapshots all the time myself.
Okay.
But, you know, the photographs like I have for this project, they're really, you know, very planned out and rather static in the way they're created. I say I like to make photographs. They're, you know, a lot of planning with the weather, seasons, things like that. They're all done on a tripod, all with a cable release. So it's just like I was using a large format camera with 4x5 or 8x10 film, where you really have to kind of commit yourself to the scene. So I go out, you know, typically and find the composition that I'm looking for when I get to a park, and then once I find the composition and say this is like shot A, and then I have shot B, then it's just a matter of waiting for the light and the weather to kind of come together to give me what I want. So,
and of course, national parks, obviously we're talking about a tremendous amount of real estate, a tremendous amount of territory. So I mean, when you get to a park, how do you decide this is where I'm going to go to shoot, or this is the kind of scene I want?
Yeah, that's a good question. A lot of times, you know, I always do research on every park before I get there, but there are those obvious iconic spots that go back, you know, historically to the paintings of, you know, Thomas Moran, Thomas Hill, Albert Bierstadt. I mean, you know, the tunnel view from Yosemite is a classic one. I mean, that scene has been around since, you know, the 1870s, 1860s in paintings, and, you know, other photographers, you know, copied those same paintings, really, and then it just kind of becomes, that's an iconic spot in the park. And, you know, Yellowstone's a good example. I mean, I've got lots and lots of photographs of Yellowstone that I love, but if you show someone, if you have to pick one iconic picture from each park and you show somebody a picture from, you know, Lamar Valley or something in Yellowstone that I think may be great because of the lighting or the, you know, something, some compositional element of it, then somebody will say, the first person says, well, where's Old Faithful? Mm. So it's kind of like you have to have Old Faithful if you're going to say Yellowstone.
Well, that's I liken it to Hamlet. Everybody's heard Hamlet,
right.
And why would you want to change it? And yet, you probably, as a photographer, want to show something that people have not seen in these parks.
Yeah, you do, but I think that it became difficult picking one photograph from each of the 59 parks for this exhibit because of that reason. But, you know, in the end, whenever you line them up and you get three or four other people there that are with you and you kind of have them, you know, I tried to get some people together to give me their opinions. You know, it was Old Faithful is the photograph of Yellowstone in the exhibit.
Sure.
So, you know, this was, I guess it's earned that reputation for kind of being the iconic, you know, landmark of the park.
And everything's black and white.
Everything's black and white.
Okay, and there are 59 parks that you shot, is that correct?
59 parks, yep. All 59, yes. It's including American Samoa. I get asked that quite a bit. That's, you know, one park that's way out near the island of Tahiti in the South Pacific, and yet that is one of the national parks, and I was there and got a nice photograph, I think.
Have you got a favorite park?
Gosh, I used to always say Yosemite because it was just kind of, to me, the quintessential American national park. It's just such a beautiful place, and when you're in Yosemite Valley, you can, you know, stand in the middle of it and turn 360 degrees, and there's almost no angle that's not going to be a good, you know, photograph or something to capture your attention. But I will say that after 2 years in Alaska, I was there for about 5 weeks in 2014 and about 5 weeks in 2015. Alaska really just truly changed my life in some ways. The wilderness there is just spectacular, and it's nature, pristine nature that, you know, when you fly 160 miles, you know, over wilderness into deeper wilderness and you're dropped off on a gravel bar, you know, it's just a special thing. And so I think some of the Alaska parks now are my favorite.
So you've got these pictures that'll be in a book, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but how about other shots? Will people get to see the other shots that you decided to take, and how will you publish those?
That's a really good question. I haven't gotten that far yet. I did though include at the entry wall of the exhibit this morning, actually. I dropped it off just right at the very last minute, what I called a little plaque that says three additional photographs. And it was three of the photographs that I really liked and somehow wanted to have included in the exhibit, and I have a little story about each one of them, and one of them actually is the White Sands National Monument, and that goes back to your first question about back in my younger days. That was a park that my father would take my brother and I to frequently when we were on trips out to west to Colorado, Arizona, or Utah, and we'd stop there, and so I had a lot of memories. So that's one of them. Alaska, there's a park from Alaska there that I included that I really liked, and then there's a photograph from the Grand Tetons that I really liked.
So now the exhibit starts today. The official opening is this evening.
Yes.
And then, but you'll have the book coming out that'll have these pictures. When does that come out?
March 8th. We're having a book event March 8th, so that'll be at the Bush Library, and there should be more information coming about that probably in a month or so.
Okay, and I would be remiss, you know, if I didn't ask, how many cameras do you carry with you, and what do you usually shoot with?
Well, this project, you know, I started with 4x5 equipment and then did a lot of test shots in 4x5, and that's, I love large format and I love working that way. But it quickly became apparent to me that I needed a little bit faster workflow to get all 59 parks completed, and also the physical demands of backpacking and having to carry the equipment and pack it and get into some of the places that I had to get into. I needed something a little bit more compact. So I tried a little bit of medium format digital equipment, but in the end, every photograph in this exhibit was done on Nikon DSLRs, and I like that a lot because I'm frequently asked by people when they see the finished limited edition prints, you know, well, you must have a really expensive camera, you must use a, you know, some special equipment or something. And and I'm not a big fan of, you know, what kind of equipment you have or what kind of cameras it is. And I think in this way, I can say that everything in this exhibit was done with pretty standard DSLR equipment that just about anybody that has a prosumer quality camera could do. And so that's what it was. It was a 36 megapixel camera.
Okay.
I carried two of those with me. And just a few lenses, because it really, I would frequently in parks only take maybe, 20 or 25 photographs, in a day or 2 days sometimes, because it was really very, very controlled and about finding the composition. And I would kind of settle on that's going to be my shot, and then just waiting. And I'd wait some time for 2 or 3 days. I've had backpackers walk by in the morning and see me, and they walk back by 7 hours later and say, "What are you doing here?"
It's all about the light, right?
Yeah, and I'm waiting.
Exactly. So. Well, that's it. It's called the National Parks Photography Project. It's a 5-year effort, and you'll be able to get your first look at them today at the Bush Library, and then the official event is tonight. Mark, thanks for being with us this morning.
Great to be here.
David, if they want some more information, what do they need to do? How do they get in touch?
They can go to our website, bush41.org, or they can call us at 691-4068.
All right. Thanks for the time this morning.